Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. I told somebody there was two kinds of weathers that a preacher don't lack, good weather and bad weather. Folks will use both of them for an excuse to miss church, amen? But we're glad you're here. If you're visiting with us today here in the Bible class, we appreciate that very much. We've been studying through the book of Revelation. We are into chapter 18. And that means we're getting very close to the end of the book. And it is true I'm going to have to miss a little bit. So I thought about just rushing to the end. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I've done my duty. I've gotten you through the tribulation period. From chapter 19 on, it's pretty well victory. Amen? So we can let that just go a little while, I think, or some of Brother Perkins or somebody else may want to come in and finish it up, and that's all right too. But of course, we always have to review because you wouldn't believe it, but our crowd changes a little bit. Some new ones come, some others miss, and so I'm always trying to keep folks on the same page as best I can as we go through it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And the book of Revelation is not anything to fear. It's a revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ends in the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus. I was thinking as Sister Rodriguez was singing there. You know, the resurrection is what the world can't get over. If he'd have stayed in the grave, they would have said he lost. There'd be defeat, but he didn't stay in the grave. Amen. And so, as she was singing, we have the great victory in Christ. Back on that table where Brother Parsons has got a table set up for some of you that brought visitors to go pick up a gift, one of the books on that table back there, the page says Jesus standing before Pilate. There's a picture on the page. And that's an interesting thing here. A number of years ago, I came across some work that a couple of preachers had done in the back in probably the 30s or early 40s. And they had gone to check on a rumor, and it proved out to be a lot of truth to it. Only one book is perfect, and that's the Bible. So everybody, all the rest of them you take with a grain of salt. But there's a lot of truth to be gleaned here and there when you study historical things. And these preachers had discovered that Rome was a meticulous government. A lot of our government today was in the early years copied after it. For instance, they had the Roman Senate. We have a Senate and so forth. And Rome was the closest thing to a free government or a democracy in those days. And by the way, the same thing that made Rome fall is making America fall today. Exact same thing. Of course, that's the evil and corruption that's come from the inside. You see, the outside enemy, all they have to do is come in and pick up the pieces after you destroy yourself from the inside. And that's basically what's going on in America today. Anyway, on that particular book, we had heard that the possibility in the archives of the Roman government, the world empire that was there when Jesus, of course, was crucified, and under the Roman governor Pilate, he was sentenced to the cross, and that they had to keep records of that. And so it was in the archives of the old Roman empire. And of course, when the Roman empire fell, it kind of went underground and become a religious empire. You have heard of the Roman Catholic Church, haven't you? The first word, Roman, there. Understand something. So the Vatican inherited or was able to get a lot of the records out of the archives of the old Roman Empire. And so those records, very well guarded. You couldn't get in to get them. You just couldn't walk in the library like you could the city library or something. But with a lot of research, there's a lot of archives, records, government records. Some of them may be faked up by now, we don't know. But that gave a lot of evidence. And one of the interesting things I found as I was finally able to get into them was how close they did parallel the truth of what we have in the King James Bible of the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection. And for instance, you read in the King James Bible how Pilate seemed to be reluctant to crucify Christ, but he bowed to the political pressure and did it. And I think perhaps regretted it. You have all of that in those archives. He had to come and explain himself before the Roman Emperor Caesar. And all of that business is quite interesting to see how close it reads to just what you know as you read the story in the Bible. A few extra things. It includes a lot of details. For instance, you remember reading in the Bible where Pilate's wife came to him and warned him about messing with Jesus. Remember? Well, that's in there too. That was written in the records. He makes a statement in his letter to Caesar that my wife warned me about this. Also, one of the big things was, of course, the Roman guards were placed on the tomb. When Jesus was in the tomb, it was guarded by Roman soldiers. Now, do you understand? It was sealed and it was guarded by Rome, world empire. Do you understand the punishment and the penalty of death that would have been for anybody that broke into that tomb under the guard of Rome? But it didn't bother the angel any, did it? And he showed up, rolled the stone back, show the tomb was empty because Jesus had rose from the dead. And Pilate made this statement. I thought this was really good. It was worth the whole thing to me. Pilate made this statement after the crucifixion and resurrection that you could not find a soldier. He meant a Roman soldier. You could not find a soldier in all of Jerusalem that did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Listen, if he rose from the dead, he was God. That means everything else in this book is true. And it is proven. It is assurance that we have in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, while things look so bad, worldwide and America-wise, look so bad, we still have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the fear of death that's come with the COVID stuff and all that, I know one that conquered death. Amen. And he conquered it for me. And so that ought to encourage you. One of the saddest things I've seen in this COVID thing is so many of God's people acting just as fearful as the world. We're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to have a spirit of fear, the scripture tells us. And we ought to let our faith shine to others. I had one man I was talking to, maybe more than one, expressing their fear and all, you know, you're going to hide from this thing. I said, look, you are going to die one day. If COVID don't get you this time, something else may get you before then. You might die in a car wreck on the way to the doctor's office to get your test. Amen. Death is sure. But the whole thing is, are you prepared after that? You know the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving power. Amen. That's the key to it. So as we get in the book of Revelation, it is a revealing of Christ, and it reveals he's the winner, and I'm a winner with him. Amen. Now we've gotten through deeply, and we've been studying a little bit already, starting in chapter 18. Let me review quickly, and some of you ought to be able to stand right up here as many times as you heard me say this, and say it yourself. Verse 19 of chapter 1 gives you the whole key to the book. It divides it in three phases. Jesus on the John on the Isle of Patmos was given by Jesus the book of Revelation to write. In verse 19 of chapter 1, it's the key verse to divide in the book of Revelation. In that verse, he tells John to write what you've seen. John was given the vision of the whole book all at one time, but he'll go through it in all the divisions that we have. He was told to write what thou hast seen. Then he said, write the things which are. Then number three, write the things which shall be. That's 3 points. The things that he saw in the vision, that'll take care of chapter 1. The things that are, that'll take care of chapter 2 and 3, the church age. The things which are hereafter, we'll start in about chapter 4, verse 1, with John being called up to heaven. In chapter 5, he's around the throne of God in heaven. In chapter 6, he sees the Lamb that is worthy. Sister Rodriguez was singing about there was a lamb slain in Jerusalem. But that slain lamb is the one worthy to take the book from him that sits upon the throne. He's worthy because of the shed blood. And that book is a seven-sealed book. And starting in chapter 6, we have those seals being opened in the book of Revelation. And we have what is the world calls, it's a big piece of literature in the world called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. The apocalypse is mentioned every now and then on TV, you know, the apocalypse is coming. Folks want to use that word just to show you that they're educated. It just means the revelation, the wrap-up, the Lord Jesus bringing it to an end, amen? And so the four horsemen of the apocalypse, yeah, the first four seals. And the big mistake that a lot of Bible students make is that first horse that rides, four horsemen of the apocalypse, that first horse is a white horse. But it's a deceptive fellow that's riding him. He's the Antichrist. He's not the Christ. We're going to get on through chapter 18, and we're going to get to chapter 19, where the true rider, the true horse, shows up. The heavens are going to be open, and Jesus is going to be coming back, riding upon the white horse of heaven, with the armies of heaven following him. That's the victory time. That's when he comes back to defeat the nations of the world and set up his kingdom. I've said it over and over. Churches pray everywhere. What they call the Lord's Prayer, not really the Lord's Prayer, that's in John 17. But the model prayer of the disciples Jesus gave them says, "Thy Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come." Thy kingdom is coming in chapter 19 when the Lord, the King himself, brings back the kingdom, establishes it, and establishes it here on earth. We'll get into chapter 20. I'm a little bit ahead of myself because I'm not going to be able to be here to teach you this real quick. But chapter 20, we get in there and find out that that kingdom on earth, the millennial kingdom, the time of peace and victory, the time Isaiah 11 says when the animals will lay down and not eat each other, the time when the curse is lifted from the earth, when the rose bushes will lose their thorns, the weather will be just right, and the carnivorous nature of the lion will change so he don't eat the lamb anymore. He eats straw like an ox, as Scripture says. All of that, you know, we see in literature and see writings. Some of you have been to the big hospital in Orlando. I believe it's basically sponsored or owned by the Seventh-day Adventists. And while we disagree with them on some things, as you walk through that hospital and walk through the garden area and look through the glass window, you go down the stairs trying to find the room, the person you're looking for. We preachers have done that a lot. They got a beautiful display looking out the window, sort of like a garden, and they've got the lion and the lamb laying down together. That's the Isaiah 11, the millennial age that's coming, when there will be peace on earth. Songwriters have wrote about it. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes, there will one day if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, when the curse is lifted. And the Lord has to come back. He's the creator, but he has to come back and take his creation by force in Revelation chapter 19. And then chapter 20, it says it's 1,000 years long, the millennial reign. A lot of dictators have tried to bring in that reign. They've promised that. Hitler had what he was calling the Third Reich. In the German thing, he was talking about the reign, the millennial reign. Man's not going to bring it in. Only Jesus can bring it in. Politicians have promised that through the years, but they can't do it. But only Jesus can. It can only be true on earth when the curse of sin has been paid off and finally lifted. The curse was given to in the garden. When Adam was told that when he'd till the soil, it would bring forth thistles, briars, there'd be pestilence on the earth and all that business. We live with that all the time. How many of you fight weeds in your flower bed? Amen. Well, that's the fact the curse is still active. Amen. Still very real. I'm going a little bit astray here, and then I'll get back to chapter 18 in just a minute. When we were building our youth camp out here about 20 minutes from here, and it was virgin land. It was Florida jungle. That's what it was. Nobody had ever plowed it. Nobody had ever cut it. Nobody had ever gone in there. Maybe a hunter or two had walked through the land, but In fact, some of you might not know this, but when we were exploring it, one of our men found a dead skeleton out there. Somebody had got lost and died in there many years before. Have no idea who. The Indians had been in there. We found a few arrowheads and things like that. But basically, it was virgin land. And as virgin land, let me tell you some things about it that you can prove this if you check it out. There was no briars growing. It had bushes and trees, but it didn't have the pestilent weeds. It didn't have the briar bushes because it had never had man trying to cultivate it or cut it. You know, the promise in Genesis is when man begins to till the soil, it's going to spring forth and the thistles and all the curse is going to show up. Guess what? We went out there with our machetes and mowers and we went to cutting and all between the trees, and the next thing we know, we had briars growing. We had the pestilence showing up. You say, that couldn't be. Well, check it out. If you can find a virgin piece of land, you just go out there and cultivate it a little bit and see what comes up. The curse is still real. But when Jesus comes back, he's going to lift that curse. And today you can call it a rose bush with briars, or you can call it a briar bush with roses. But the briars are going to go because they're cursed. When Jesus died on the cross, they put a crown of thorns on his head, remember? When he was paying the price on the cross, you read Romans chapter 8, he was also paying the price of a sin-cursed earth, planet earth. And the whole creation, the Bible says, groaneth today. The creation itself has the mark of sin on it. If you ever walked by the seashore and you picked up a seashell and you put it to your ear, you said, oh, I hear the ocean roaring. No, you don't. You hear the ocean groaning. This world groans under the curse of sin. When I was a kid on the farm growing up, all the houses was not built as well as they are now, unsealed. And I remember more than one night before I went to sleep hearing the wind howl around the corner of the house. Anybody ever hear that? Amen. It's not a pleasant sound. When the hurricanes come through Florida, have you ever sat up during the night and heard them howl? This world's under curse. That won't be true in the millennial reign. That curse will be lifted. Be lifted off of creation, just as it is on all of God's kingdom. So that's what we're looking forward to. Now, in the meantime, here in the book of Revelation, from chapter 4 through chapter 19, the church has disappeared. It'll come back in. It'll be mentioned again. And we're in what is called the day of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30. Jacob, synonym for Israel, the Jews. It's in that tribulation period that God deals with them and brings them to the place they recognize who the Messiah is. And he comes back, book of Zechariah says, they'll say to him, where'd you get the wounds in your hands and in your side? He'll say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. John 1:12 says he came unto his own. Jesus had a Jewish body. He was born of a Jewish maiden. And he came unto his own. But his own received him not, the scripture says. But as many as received him, unto them gave you power to become the sons of God. Thank God I was able to receive him. You were able to receive him. You see, we might be a Gentile instead of a Jew, but we got a Jewish Savior. Amen. And the world that's anti-Israel today better wake up. They better understand that truth. And God still has plans. Blindness in part has come to Israel, Romans chapter 11, but God still has plans. People don't like this, and the United Nations don't like this. They're always passing a resolution against Israel every time you turn around. They don't like it, but this book promises that Israel, in that millennial reign, will be the head of the nations. Not the tail, but the head. And that's going to happen. And Jesus himself is going to sit on a throne of the Jewish king David and rule and reign the earth for 1,000 years. So in chapter 18 we have God's judgment falling on the city. We've identified the city in chapter 17. It's a religious city. Chapter 18, the commercial side of the city is pointed out, but it's called Babylon, and it's being being judged of God, and God's judgment is falling and falling fast. So as we get into chapter 18, it starts off after these things, and of course after chapter 17 and the rest of it, we're at the end of the tribulation period now. The mark of the beast is coming in chapter 13. Antichrist has taken over. God now has called seven angels forth for the seven last plagues, and he's beginning to plague the Antichrist kingdom. For instance, all those that took the mark of the beast, in chapter 13, you find out that God makes a grievous sore appear on them, on those that had the mark. Now, all the vaccine stuff in the news today, and a lot of folks are scared of it and probably have a right to be, and you make your own decision, but I believe as free Americans, nobody ought to be bullying us into doing anything. Well, we ought to be able to make our choice. And there's a lot of argument pro and con, but the truth is, there's a day coming when you're going to be forced, if you're still here, to take a mark. And when the Lord begins to pour out his judgment on the kingdom of the Antichrist, that mark's going to turn into a sore. A judgment of God is going to be on it. And so it's a dangerous thing today as we see the pressure that's being put on for the government to tell us everything to do and what to do and how to do it. I've often heard as a preacher when I preach something about the mark of the beast, I've often had people say, I won't take it. Well, how are you feeling the pressure today about doing something? If you think this is bad, how much increase is it going to be then? I've jokingly said to the church, because everybody's addicted to a cell phone, except me, I don't hardly know how one works, but and I wish I did to some degree. But the addiction to cell phones today, all it would take is for if you don't get the mark, you don't get your cell phone. It's almost that way right now. You see what Google and Facebook's doing? They're kicking off every conservative voice. Everybody that speaks truth, they're kicking it off right now. And the business world now is yoked into this thing. I mean, everywhere you turn, folks can't operate without it. Don't tell me you won't take the mark or they'll take your phone. Now, I'm not talking to you that are saved. I believe we're going to be raptured out of here before the mark is forced on us. But there'll be a lot of folks that'll take it. Those that don't and defy the Antichrist, we've already studied this, I'm only reviewing as I talk, they'll have their heads chopped off in the tribulation period. By the way, as we exited Afghanistan, do you know they're chopping off heads again? Hanging people in the middle of the streets. Terrible things, terrible things. This world is not going to get better until Jesus comes and corrects it. That's all there is to it. So in chapter 18, the city here, again, we see the commercial side of it. I believe it probably is one in the same city, and there's a description of it given in the last verse of chapter 18 that we also found given in chapter 17. Chapter 17 and in verse 6-7, we find the same description mentioned again at the end of chapter 18 in verse 24. It says, in her, talking about the city, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, a lot of folks said, well, chapter 17 and 18 may be New York. It may be America. We're guilty of a lot of things, but we don't fit that verse. We did not slay the prophets. We have not slain the saints. There is a city that has that curse upon it, identified. Go back and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Go back and pick up what happened to the early church. Even through history, you find out a lot of Christians burned at the stake. And in some cases, and today more so than ever, having their heads chopped off in Muslim countries under Islam. It's a terrible thing that's going on. Listen, martyrs took place in the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, but there's more martyrs today than there was then. I even saw recently where the Taliban in Afghanistan was stopping buses in the city and taking Christians off. That's going to be laid at the feet of America. That did not have to happen. we played the fool over there, no doubt about it. But in chapter 18 here, we find this city. Now, it's being destroyed. I want you to notice some things about it quickly. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Notice how sudden, how quick. One day. Now, through here, you find out one day, and later on here, we read that it's destroyed in 1 hour, down in verse 17. For in 1 hour, so great riches come to naught. Now, God is judging this commercial city. It's more than a city. It's a system. It's the world system at that time. There's no doubt about it. Then it talks about the kings and the merchants standing afar off in verse 10. They're crying about it because it cost them some money. They say that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour. Notice again, 1 hour, one day, 1 hour. And something, judgment falls quickly. We live in a day and time where from day to day, bad things happen, and they happen sudden, and they surprise us. And it's going to be very quickly. You also would be led to believe this is a nuclear strike against this city, because you notice here that they stand afar off fearing the plague. In other words, you can't be very close to the nuclear strike. You can't have the radiation. You can't have all the fallout that we know about. See, people in the early years reading this Bible, they couldn't explain that like we can now. But if this city is hit under a nuclear explosion, then you got to be way off not to be affected by it. And so there's so much here. Now, I want you to notice this city is condemned, and I'm hitting just some high spots here. Got all the commercial items listed. I mean, you can buy most of this stuff at Walmart, probably. It's talking about all the things people want. But then it says in verse 13, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots, all those things the world deals with commercially. But then notice the last statement, and slaves and the souls of men. Do you know the commercial system in America is guilty of just that? The enslavement? Not just the white slavery and the evil we know about, not just the cartels coming across the border and the prices they're paying and all of that, but the souls of men. That's deception. The soul getting the wrong information, being told wrong, being misled. God is charging that to this system that he's destroying here in the under the kingdom of the Antichrist. And it talks about in verse 15 how they stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in, here's her colors again, fine linen, purple, scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Nothing fits that description as a city better than Rome itself does. But I do believe it's more than one city. I believe that while that could be the head city of the thing, I believe it's a system that's being identified. The great commercial system that is ruling the world big time right now. And it says in verse 17, 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. And the ships in the sea, they are staying afar off and crying out. But I want you to notice in verse 20, how heaven looks at this thing. On earth they're crying, alas, financially we're hurt. But in heaven they're rejoicing over this destruction. See it in verse 20? Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. So this is God's vengeance falling now in chapter 17 and 18 of this big commercial, powerful, religious kingdom of the Antichrist. And finally, we look again and we see where the merchants are crying about it. It says the great men down in verse 23 of the earth. And it says, for by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived. Biggest sign of the Lord's return and the hopelessness of planet earth is the sign of deception today. They talk about it all the time, each side of this, that, and the other, claiming the other one is false. You know what is getting scarce today, obviously, is truth. If you're saved, you got the truth. Amen. If you're saved, you got the Word of God. It's the truth. If you're saved, you know the one that was the truth and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, don't take that for granted. You are in a minority today that know the truth. It is amazing. And then the cry that's going up from even the average citizen today is, what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Well, somebody asked me that this morning. I'm not sure we'll ever have a totally fair election again. Corruption is everywhere you look. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still on the winning side. And all he said he was going to do, and he's coming back to do it, is going to happen one day. I'd like for it to happen soon. I about wore out this old body I got. It don't want to do everything I ask it to do anymore. Are you there? Well, you know, the only good thing about the bad things that's happened is Lord Jesus is coming. And I believe he's coming soon. And I've said jokingly that if the Lord had listened to me, he'd have been here a long time ago. I've been saying, like John, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Where we will tell you that in chapter 20, there'll be the great white throne judgment. Chapter 21 and 22, you got the victory, of course, of the new heaven and the new earth and the good things that God has prepared and promised that he'd prepare for those that love him. I hope you love him. I hope you know him as Savior this morning.